And after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We're in the season of Epiphany. It's the season of remembering the baptism of our Lord, the water baptism. And I thought that it was quite unique that that it just happened that Mr. Rhodes and his daughter-in-law and Todd want to be baptized tonight. How many candidates do we have? When I say candidates, now we're not going to vote to see if you can be baptized tonight. How many want to be baptized tonight? I know Mr. Rhodes and you. Okay, there's more. And don't you? Do you want? Is anybody else? Is that all just two? Okay. All right, so there's going to be two. And I thought it was unique. And Nancy Doss wanted to be, but she wanted to wait until the doubters were here. And so we'll do another one in a couple of weeks. But I just thought that it was quite unique that they asked to be baptized at this particular time of the year. Now, water baptism is a rite or a ritual of the church. It's a ceremony. It's a ceremony that the church does. The world, you know, doesn't take you and put you in water. This is what the church does. It's an initiation into the universal church. You won't be baptized into the church at Lafayette or baptized into the Baptist church or the Methodist church. You're baptized into the universal church. When you're baptized into the body of Christ. It's an ordinance of the church. It's an order. This is not something that man thought up. You know, it's not something that's optional. This is an ordinance. It's an order. Jesus says that we are to go into all nations and do what? Baptize them. It's not something that man thought up. It's also something that links up our salvation with repentance. It shows that we are serious with God, that we're believers, and that now we're wanting to go on with God. It's a move of the Lord. It's what we do. And Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, "He that believeth and is what? Baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And then in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, Peter there preaching at the day of Pentecost says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" And then Peter said this. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized." How many of them? All of you. Every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin. So baptism takes our belief and then carries it on into repentance. And so it's something that we are. It's an ordinance. It's an order. It's a writ. It's something that it's a ritual, but it's something that we're ordered to do. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. And it's from here that I'll just talk a few moments, and then we'll just change clothes and we'll baptize. And Pastor Tebow, I don't know if you have prepared any songs or anything to sing while we're changing, so you might want to be. Judy's going to sing. Okay. Romans chapter 6, when you talk about baptism, it was instituted by the Lord and commanded of the Lord to do, to bring unity to the body of Christ. It was something that we are to do, and we're baptized into how many bodies? One body. So it's something that we are to do that will bring unity to the body of Christ. But what does man always do with what God intends to unify? Takes it and brings division. And so rather than it being a unifying doctrine, it's a divisive doctrine. And so when you talk about baptism, you end up basically talking about three things. You know, you got to build a case for three specific thoughts. What people question. Number one, what does baptism do? Why do I need it? Number two, who is baptism for? And what they're really asking is, do you believe in infant baptism? Well, I believe that you're called from the foundations of the world. And I believe that. And I believe there's household salvation. The Philippian jailer suffered an earthquake, and he ran to Paul and asked Paul. He says, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul says, "Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your whole household shall be saved." And they took him and they baptized the whole household. And Lydia's whole household was baptized. And so I don't have any problems. I don't have any problems with it. I think that it's something that the individual needs to think about and the parent, but I just don't have any problems with it because I am so settled in the callings of God from the foundations of the world. And then the third thing that people want to talk about and question about is, what is the proper way to baptize? Should you be dipped or should you be dripped? And, you know, this gets to be issues in the church. And rather than something that should unify the church, we let it divide us. Now, I want to read in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. Talk a few minutes, and then we're just going to baptize. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Let me stop there and just ask you a question while you're looking at the scripture in your own lap. What are we baptized into? We are baptized into Jesus Christ. We're not baptized in the Church at Lafayette or the First Baptist or the First Met. We're baptized into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into his death. Now that will mean something. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Notice there that baptism is an assurance, is an insurance program for the resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. No longer be what? I'm not a slave to sin anymore after I'm baptized. Is that what this is saying to me? That's right. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. Death is what King James says, death hath no more dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Do you see there in that passage that one thing that water baptism does is releases us from the power of sin? Do you see that? It releases us from the power of sin. And of course, it's not a magic thing. It's not a magic trick. How many of you have been water baptized? How many of you have sinned since you've been water baptized? See, it's not a magic thing. It's something, though, that we do. It's a ceremony. It's a rite. It's something that we are ordered to do. We're not bondage to sin. We're no longer under the power of sin. But what we do have now is dominion over sin. It doesn't have dominion over us. Death nor sin has dominion over us anymore. There's four primary articles that I just want to speak to us about water baptism. First of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, it says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." We've got to understand that as we baptize these candidates tonight, As we witness their baptism, that they are being baptized into the body of Christ, they will experience something that they've never experienced before. This is coming into, they're being baptized into Jesus. This is what water baptism is about. Being baptized into Christ. We're united with Christ and his body through baptism. The second thing is it shows belief in Jesus Christ and the intent to repent. We've already quoted Acts chapter 2, verse 38, where Peter tells them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remissions of sin, So what they are showing us tonight, and they're showing the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, is they're being baptized in the body, and they have every intent to change their lives. They have every intent now to go on with the Lord and repent. And repentance isn't crying and weeping, and repentance is changing the way we think. So that's what repentance, that's what the second thing is that they're showing. And how soon after water after salvation was the Apostle Paul water baptized? How soon? Immediately, pretty quickly. He was at Ananias' house, remember? And not Ananias, he was on the street called straight, and Ananias came to him, and Ananias took him and told him to be water baptized. In Acts chapter 9, verse 18, it says, "And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized." It's an act to show that we're going to change our lifestyles. Jesus Christ addressed Paul and says, "Why do you kick against the pricks? Why do you keep fighting against me?" When we're water baptized, it shows that we intend to change the way we do things. These candidates tonight will have now the power to change their lives. It brings us, and the third thing, it brings us into the covenant name and gives us the right to use that name with power. Now, a lot of times I have problems with this one as I teach it. And so let's take a minute here and just look at some verses, because when I baptize these candidates, I will baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ. And what I would like for you to do with me is just turn to about four or five scriptures in repetition and just see that I'm coming from a biblical foundation when I do this. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. I want to show you that in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, that we are ordered to baptize people in the name of Jesus Christ. The covenantal name of the New Testament is Jesus Christ. That's the covenantal name. It's not Jehovah. It's not Allah. It's Jesus Christ. That is the covenantal name. And when we baptize people, we baptize them into that name. It's by the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses. He says, if you are saved and are baptized in my name, he says, you can lay hands on the sick, and what will happen? They shall recover. You shall speak in tongues. You shall cast out devils. You can do all these things because now you have the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in what name? And let's all say it together. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Turn over to Acts chapter 8, verse 16. I just want you to know why I baptize people in the name of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 8, and verse 16. What's happened here is the apostles, John and Peter, have come to Samaria where Philip's having revival. And it says here that they had not yet received the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 16, let's read it. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized, what? In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's all say that. In the name of the Lord Jesus. That's what they baptized them in. Turn over to Acts chapter 10, verse 48. This is at Cornelius' house. This is when the Holy Ghost came to the Gentiles, and he fell on them. They spake in tongues. And then what Peter said, let's read verses 47 and 48. Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we can. As we did, can he? And then in verse 48, and he ordered them, see it, it's an ordinance, he ordered them to be baptized, let's all say it, in the name of Jesus Christ. One more, well, it's two more, Acts chapter 19. Most of you know this, this is just something that we just need to do, just to show you what we'll be doing here in a few moments. Acts chapter 19 and verse 5. Paul has come to Ephesus, and he has met some who has been baptized in John's baptism, which is the baptism of repentance. And then he talks to them and he finds out that they have not been baptized in Jesus Christ. So what he does then is in Acts chapter 19 and verse 5, he preached to them and he says, and when they heard this, they were baptized, let's say it, in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's always baptized in the name of Jesus in the new covenant. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. We were here just a minute ago and we read it. Verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Baptized into what? Into who? Christ Jesus. So the proper way of water baptism in the New Testament is to be baptized in the name, the covenantal name of Jesus Christ. So the third thing that water baptism does is brings us into the place that we can now properly and with power use the name of Jesus Christ. We're in the covenant of Jesus Christ. Then fourth thing, it shows that sin no longer has dominion over us. We read it a while ago. I even pointed it out to you in verse 9 of that same chapter of Romans chapter 6. It says, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. And it's the same way as you go in the likeness of his death and raised in the likeness of his resurrection, then sin no longer has dominion over you. Now, should we dip them or drip them? Now, all these things are divisive issues. Something that was intent to make us come together into the body of Christ has caused such divisions of doctrine. I believe in totally submerging them in that water. When a man dies and is buried in the ground, do you sprinkle dirt on him or do you bury him? Bury him. And this is a type of death. And so as I take them in this pool that's behind me, and the water is nice and warm, I am going to totally submerge them. I'm going to bury them. And they are totally in my control at that time. I will invoke the name of Jesus Christ over them, and then they will be raised in the likeness of his resurrection. But in the realm of the spirit, that pool of water behind me is a graveyard. When we're done, it is full of the stench of sin. When these people come out of it, they are clean. They are in the name of Jesus Christ. They are in the body. They are no longer under the power and dominion of sin. They can come forth in covenantal power, covenantal name of Jesus Christ. And they are a part of each one of us. Each one of us. Each and every one of us. I want to just do this, just to show you. I had Lance make me an overhead, just to show you what the word baptize means. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, this is the one we read a while ago. It says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now that word baptized, right there, here is what the Greek teaches us about it. It's a strong reference number. Strong's is a concordance that tells us Greek words. And it gives us the English definition of the Greek word. The Greek word is baptizo. And it's a derivation of number 911, which is the root word of this baptizo. And the definition of that word is to make fully wet. Now, I can't make a person fully wet if I just sprinkle them a little bit. So we're seeing then that they need to be totally wet. But the last part, the root part of that word baptizo, that bapto, is a derivation, it's a primary word, but the definition is what I really wanted to point out from this. It means to whelm, cover wholly with fluid, to stain as with a dye. When you're baptized, you are stained, and it's something that will never come off of you. It's happened. You can't unhappen it. It is done. You are baptized into the body. You are now a part of me, and I'm a part of you, and we're a part of Jesus Christ. And that's what baptism is about. We are stained by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are never the same again. And that's what baptism is about. What we're going to do now is while we go and change clothes, I'd like for you to come and minister to the people and just sing, and we'll be back out in just a second.
I'm going to get out of this graveyard and go change my clothes. We're going to the Sizzling tonight. I've called them and told them we were coming. So if you didn't know that that's what we do sometimes, that's what we're going to do. And if you're a visitor here and want to have some more fellowship with us and just go and hang out with us a little bit, you're more than welcome. We just go down there and pile some tables together and have fun. So you're welcome. Won't you just stand with me? I am standing. The end of 90, we began building this. We, Lance and Steve and myself, were in here. There was a wall right there, and Lance and Steve and myself were in here, and we were building this platform. And we had nailed it all up, and it looked so good, and it fell. It did, and we had to jack it all back up. And I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking how good the Lord is. How good the Lord is, because the reason that we built it like we built it is so that we could do what we do. And I'm just so thankful. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the church. I'm just thankful. I'm just so thankful. Let's pray. Father, we are a thankful people.